Good morning to you. It's good to see you here this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, to be able to gather to sing praise and worship and to be able to lift up the name of Jesus. And even if you're home with us, I'm glad you're gathering together in spirit, and it's good to have you here. So I would ask our ushers this morning if they would get ready to receive our offering. And as they get ready, I want to take this moment to tell our kids that are here, you guys are dismissed for kids' church this morning. We want to release you now. The teachers are waiting on you. It's going to be a good time. So glad you guys are here. It's so good to have kids walking back there again and having us in person. That's pretty cool. Fantastic. As they're going back, I'd ask if you would to join me as we receive our offering. Join me in prayer as we get ready to receive our offering. God, we ask you to please honor this expression of our faith and multiply it, bless it, to provide for the ministries that you have invited us to work with you, to extend your kingdom and here around the world, not just in Warrick County, but just really to the nations. And so please, in ways we don't understand, by your grace, would you extend the reach and draw people to you through our offering today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you guys would come forward and receive our offering. Hey, if you're at home today, and we want to encourage you, because we're not going to come to your house. We promise we won't do that. But if you would like to generously continue to support the ministry here at New Hope, I want to invite you. You can mail it to the church. You can send it to 5422 Van Road in Newburgh. That's 47630. Or you can drop it by. We have a black lock box on the front of the church building. It's right by the front doors. You can just simply drop it in there, or you can go online. You can use our website, and there's an opportunity to give online there, or if you have your own service you use. But hey, we are grateful for any of those ways. We're just so thankful that you're partnering with us. Now we all are partnering together to do the work of ministry. It's good, real good. Well, this morning, I want to continue on with the unveiling, if you will, sharing with everybody the discipleship pathway that I talked about in our review, annual review from last year, and I promised it to you this spring. And so here we are today, and we're already week two. Last week, if you weren't with us last week, we talked about how the Sunday service, this time when we get together, how that's actually a part of how God grows us in our faith, in our spiritual walk with the Lord. And there's also another part that we're going to talk about today. And you'll notice on the screen here this morning, you can see those. And you'll notice that in the middle is discipleship pathway. And then on the four corners are the four areas that we're going to talk about. And we start at the left, and we're just going to work our way around that clockwise. If I get my clock right. Yep, there it is. I got it. Woo, I failed a test there, and I got nervous for a second, but I passed, so it's good. So we're going to talk about serve and share today. And if you do me a favor, just any of you at home, do me a favor. Just kind of look to your neighbor and say, God wants to grow you. Do me a favor. So look at your neighbor and say, hey, God wants to grow you. Now I want you to look to another one and say, God wants to grow me. Now, you can say it to your dog if you want, but they may not say anything back to you at home today. I don't know. If they do, that's pretty cool, and we need to talk. That'd be amazing. Well, this morning, I'm like, oh, please, Pastor, get to something with some meat to it today. Well, I'll try. All right. So what in the world is a disciple? What is that? Like, just get to it, super simple. What is a disciple? And we talk about go make disciples of all the nations. So let me just say that I want to just define that as a person who is learning to trust and follow Jesus. So we make disciples of Christ, right? So it's people who are learning to trust and follow Jesus. And that's not something that just fully happens for us. Our heart longs for that as the Spirit of God enters us through our salvation. But there's this part of us that we grow as a person who is learning to trust Jesus more and more. as someone who's learned to follow him, to follow his ways. Hey, if you've consider yourself to be a disciple of Jesus, let me ask you, do you feel like if you've been walking with him for a while, that you feel like you have learned by like now, you know what, I have learned more by now to trust and follow Jesus than I did when I first started. Like, I don't have it all figured out, but I just feel like in my heart and in my head that I'm trusting and following him more deeply today than I did maybe, let's say, 5, 10 years ago, or maybe 20 or even beyond, right? We're not asking anybody to divulge their age today or anything like that. But there's just something to that. That it's a process of like learning to trust and to follow. And the more that you invest and by grace trust the Lord and lean on him, that he actually does grow you in the Spirit. It's a wonderful journey to take. It's a challenging. It's not always easy, but it is a wonderful journey. And so on that journey, we said, you know what? Sunday services, when we get together, when we worship together, somehow God does something in us that grows us in our spirit, that just enriches us, and we feel like we grow in our faith the more we gather and celebrate together. I don't know how he does that. He's amazing. But somehow he does that. But God also works in other spaces. And so one of those other spaces is what we might call sort of not quite the crowd when we get together, right, to just lift up and praise and learn from the Word. But that time when we sort of gather and we kind of hang out together and we're sort of doing some life together, right? And something about that space that, again, God's working. So why not go to Jesus and see if we can kind of ground this thing and make the, you know, let's see. I got a better. Let's see if we can get this plane to take off. I like that. It just popped into my head. So let's go to Jesus. Hey, for those of you that have some familiarity with the Bible, let me ask you, do you remember the names of the three disciples that were considered sort of the closest to Jesus, that he sort of spent some intimate time together, like really close? There's three of them. Do you remember the names of those three? Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Now, the Bible tells us that there were also 12. You don't have to name. That test is for another day. Not, I wouldn't do that. But that he also spent time with 12, right? And so those 12 end up where we lose Judas and we add on. But, you know, he comes to be the 12 apostles and so on. But when you look in the Gospel of Luke, Luke says that Jesus also spent a considerable amount of time with 70. 70, 72, depending on where you're at. It really doesn't matter. It's the same for our account. But he spent time with the 70. And so when he was going, and he was going about, and he's teaching, and he's healing, and he's doing his ministry, they've got not just the 3 or the 12, but they've got the 70 that are going with him. And there comes a place in, I believe it's Luke chapter 10, where Jesus and the 70 are together, and he says, you know what, I want to send you out in pairs. And I want you to go out into these places, really basically was ahead of him, and they were sort of paved the way for what he, to preaching the kingdom and the healing and delivering people from demons, and just an amazing time. And they go out, and they're doing all of that, and they're doing that, and then they come back, and they're so excited. You know why? We're doing all this stuff in your name, and like it's really happening. It's amazing. The things that you said we were to do, that they actually were taking place. It's just phenomenal. And Jesus is, I love it, because Jesus is joyful when he's listening to their testimony. He's like, oh, you trust. He doesn't say this, but I can imagine. It's like, for those of you who might be passive aggressive and sarcastic, it'd be like, oh, wow, you listened to me and did what I told you and it worked. Huh. Big surprise. That is not Jesus. He's not that way. But here's something I really love about this story. They have that experience and they're growing, and I'll get to that in a moment. But I love something that the story doesn't necessarily tell us, but if you understand the culture, then it's in the story. You tracking what I'm saying? You see, because in the story, when those disciples are going with Jesus, before he sends them out, they're spending time with him, and they're spending time with each other, and they are traveling together. You ever travel with people? You ever travel with a group of people? You know what that's like? I'm not going to unpack that. I'm just going to let that go then. You hang out together, you eat together, you share life with each other, you're telling stories. Some of them are probably embellished fish stories, you know. I know guys never do that, but you're getting to know one another as you're spending this time together. You're learning, like these guys, they're learning together from Jesus, right? And no doubt some of them are asking questions. And, you know, when somebody asks a good question, you go, "Ooh, I didn't think about that. That's really good." And you learn something you didn't even know you were going to learn that day. Like those things have got to be happening. They're working together. They're probably laughing together because they're had a group of 70 plus. There's got to be a comedian. There's got to be somebody that thinks they're just Gallagher to the world. And, you know, and so it just got them in stitch. It got to be somehow. There's too many people around not to be happening. Somehow they've got to be having some fun together. And they're relating and they're connecting and they're growing as disciples of Jesus. I went on a mission trip to Belize. It feels like it's been ages ago. But it was the third trip I went on, mission trip to Belize, and I was leading a trip, and it was about, I think, I might have been the 15th person on the trip, and I'm leading this team, right, I mean, 14 people, whatever it was. And I knew them all, so that was good. And we were there for a week in Belize, Central America, and we went to do some painting in a church and to be able to do VBS. It was in the summer. It was kind of nice, warm weather for them. It was freezing cold back in Michigan when we left. But doing VBS with them for a couple of days and having church service and feeding the poor. And it was a great trip. And I learned something about spiritual growth on that trip. The time that we spent together just sitting there, talking, sharing what we thought about the trip and the things that we were maybe a little nervous about that we knew that, right, that we were going to have to do in different parts of the trip, and we began to also share about our lives and the experiences that we've had, because nothing like, you know, standing there painting next to somebody in a church and you got nothing else to do, and so what do? You talk, and you share your life. And there's something about serving next to somebody when you're both away from your home and you're both out of your comfort zone, you're both doing something in the name of Jesus, right, for the good of the church and the good of the kingdom and to bless the community, and you're just working together, painting, and you just start, there's something about that that just sort of prompts the heart to share your life in a way that you just don't do when you're sitting here at church and when you're sitting in a small group. It's just a little different, you know? There's something about that. Spending hour after hour after hour together on hot days where you're all sweating and you all smell and you're all tired and you're all hungry and your tummy may not be feeling the greatest because you're a week long into a trip and you're eating stuff you don't normally eat when you're back home, but you don't have a choice, right? It's all good. But there's something about that experience that does something in you, in your spirit, that just doesn't happen when you are just doing life as normal. I could be dead wrong on this. I don't think I am, because when I look at the story of Jesus, they went out in pairs, and they were preaching the gospel, and they were blessing people in the communities. They were paving the way for the good news and the presence of Jesus to be in that community that Jesus was going to go to, and they come back, And Jesus is joyful and he's excited over the fact that they were successful, which tells me that Jesus in that moment was able to know where they had been, to know what they'd just done and what they had accomplished, and to see how they had grown. And their growth in faith brought joy to the heart of Jesus. The Bible actually says that Jesus was joyful over their report and their excitement about what they were able to accomplish. It was so good. Well, that's one story. Let me take you to another story in the book of Acts, chapter 2. If you got a Bible with you today or on your phone, or maybe you've got the book, you want to use that. Hey, if you're at home, you got a Bible, hey, I invite you to open up to the book of Acts, chapter 2. I want you to go to verse 42. And I want to read through verse 47. I'll tell you, Acts 2, 42, this is probably one of the most read passages, you know, in the New Testament, maybe outside of the gospel. The crucifixion, the resurrection. I wonder, this might be like one of the most popular ones, okay? So here it is, Acts 2, 42. It's right after Pentecost, and so the Holy Spirit has come on the disciples, and Peter's already gone out, and he's preached, you know, an evangelistic sermon telling people, hey, look, you're the one that crucified Jesus, and you repent and turn back to God. And so Luke gives a little summary on kind of the rhythm of the church right after that, and here's what he writes. He says in Acts 2:42, says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So they went to the temple courts and they got the church on. And we know that they gathered in homes and they're eating meals together. So they kind of had their like small group, spoiler alert, kind of thing happening, you know. But there's something about the beginning of that strikes me in verse 42. Where it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, there's only so many apostles. And so the apostles' teaching would theoretically seems need to be teaching in bigger environments where they could teach more people at one time. They could ensure the teaching of the gospel that Jesus had passed on to them that would connect the dots from the old scriptures into the teachings of Jesus. So that the people would know that Jesus really is the Messiah. So there's these spaces where they're gathering together. And apparently, if the Lord's adding people into the kingdom, right, who are believing, you come to faith through the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So somebody's telling them who he is, and they're learning about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. I believe that fundamentally is coming through the apostles and in those homes, right? Because what do you do? You go to somebody's house. You have a meal. What do? You talk. You ask questions maybe of something, that kind of thing. But they can get together in this environment, and they're inviting people to come in, and they're all hearing about Jesus, and they're all getting the same consistent teaching. And they're taking up a collection. Now, I can't imagine any church leader that gets in a crowd of people and says, you know what, this would be a whole lot better to take up a collection here than it would be in a home of about 10 people. I got 40 people sitting right here. I think this would go a lot farther to bless our community than just the 10 that's going to meet in our home at 6 o'clock on Monday night. Huh. I gotta think that they're taking up collections, because what it says, right? They had the possessions, they'd sell them, they'd take the money, they'd give it to take care of the poor. So they're getting together, they're introducing new people. They got a friend, somebody they met, right, in the market, somebody they did business with in the network, because that's how the culture worked. You hung out and you did life with people that you did business with, that you were neighbors with, that you went to the store with, that your kids were maybe palling around with. That's how it worked. That's community. And so it was very natural for them to bring those people into the circles of things that they were doing. So you can imagine, it's like, hey, come with me. Come with me. We're going to go listen to these guys talk about who Jesus is. And they're bringing these people, they're coming, they're hearing the gospel. Apostle Paul said, how will they know unless somebody preaches it? And so they were preaching it. They were praying together. I love how in these probably larger and smaller, but I think it's both. Man, they're sharing food, and they're sharing their faith, and they're sharing probably some fun and some laughs together. And they're sharing some common experiences together with each other, with some old friends and with some new friends. I can imagine. You know how it is? You go someplace and you're like, oh my gosh, it's such a small world. What are you doing here? You ever have that kind of experience, right? It's like, who do you know? How did you? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh yeah, well, I'm friends with so-and-so, or I work with so-and-so. No way. Like, get out of here, dude. What is that? Is that going back to the 80s? Is that right? Okay, all right, I shouldn't have done that. Anyways, moving on. That's the commercial break you get. You can thank me later. I don't charge for it. They are free, just so you know. But they're also serving the community. The community has needs, and they're saying, you know what, we can take care of this. And let me, if there's a point I want to go to the cross, I want to go to the cross right here. Because we understand something about what that little line in that story is actually saying, that they sold their possessions and they gave to those who had need. So with compassion, they understood that the love of God is a selfless, it's a giving love. And so they took action on that and they blessed people in their community. Well, come to the cross. This is what I love about the cross. This cross is a symbol of our Christian faith that expresses the selfless love of God that saw humanity's need for salvation. And love took action, came to earth, went to the cross, and died for the sins of you and me and the world, so that by His mercy, we could compassionately be forgiven of our sin, be brought into His kingdom, and know eternal life with our Creator. Amen. So you need to understand, the very thing that they did practically for their neighbor taught the very thing that Jesus did through the cross. There was a connection between the two. So we talk about how important it is that we bless our community. Folks, it's not just because somebody's hungry, and so we want to give them food. We do that. But it's also much deeper, because we understand that what we're doing in the name of Jesus Christ, if they ever hear the gospel, maybe in a church service, right, that what they hear preached about the work of God's love on the cross will match up and align with what they just physically experienced through you. There's integrity of the gospel in word and action. So it's important that rhythm of just blessing their neighbor, which we might just sort of take for granted and go, well, that's just what Christian people, church people do. Yeah, but it's awfully important the why they were doing it. That as a community of people, they're living out the gospel. You know, it's kind of hard to teach the gospel of God's love for the world through Jesus if you're not actually living out that love, blessing other people around you. See a need, meet a need kind of thing, right? I don't say that to make us feel bad or anything like that. But just understand, right? Speak the truth. The scripture says, like, speak the truth in love. Like, in love, help us see that what we say we believe does have to align with what we do. Those matter. And it's why, for me, this serve and share space, I want to give us a little picture of that here in a second, but that's, for me, why that space is so important. One of the reasons it can be really important, it is important, it can be really good. Because when you get in that space where you've got this larger group of people, that's probably one of the least intimidating places to step foot in. If you asked a friend and you said, hey, you know, this week I'm getting together with about 6 people and we're going to study the Bible, and I want to know if you'd like to come. If that person doesn't have really any background, that sounds pretty intimidating. I mean, it's a great invitation, but it probably feels a little intimidating. I remember when I was younger, like, that was intimidating. If you invite them to come to church, that's awesome. But at the same time, walking into an environment where they don't know what's going on, why it's happening, what they're doing, what's expected of them, how long it's really going to last, really kind of what do they wear, what's the norm, they don't really know anybody but maybe you, that's kind of overwhelming a little bit. Now, I think we ought to invite folks to come and join us for church. I love it. But also understand how the person that you're talking to and your network of people might see that. Now, if I asked my friend and I said, hey, I'm getting together with a group of friends. We're just going to have some food, and you can bring some if you want. You don't have to, but we're just going to get together, and we're also going to go out, and we're going to just do a little project and help somebody. There's a neighbor that needs a little work done, and if you'd like to come along and eat with us and just work with us alongside, that'd be great, man. We'd love to have you come. That sounds like fun to me. We're not going to make you feel bad about anything. Look, we're all there because we share a faith in Jesus, but we just want to go out and bless a neighbor who needs help and you know, have some chicken together. You know, I know Gary's grilling, and it's going to be good. I promise you, you'll like it. Come on. We'd love to have you. It'll be 2 hours. Let me know if you can make it. I like that. I like that. That's kind of what I am inviting on our discipleship pathway, serving and sharing. I know I have it flipped there, but don't worry about it. It's something that we're calling serving and sharing. I want to thank my discipleship team that I worked with on this. And as we were talking this out, this was one of the things that was fun. I mean, the whole thing was fun, but this one, like, oh my goodness, this is like going back, but bringing it forward and putting a new spin on it. I'm like, that's exactly what we're doing. I love this. And so what we want to do is say, okay, we're not trying to add something else to your life schedule because life is just crazy these days, and I get it. What we want to ask you to do is, hey, would you consider, and you don't have to, but would you consider investing in spending time serving and sharing with a larger group of people, where you invite a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, or somebody that you'd love to see come to faith in Jesus, and you'd like to just work alongside them, right? And just bless some people in our community with them. Not just saying, hey, let me get some other people in the church that I know, or some other people go to the church. It's like, no, who do I know that I'd like to come to a saving relationship with Jesus? I want to invite them. I want to invite them. I want to share a meal with them. I want to go do a project with them. I like my other church friends. I think they might like them. They might have a connection. I want to invite them. I want to help that happen, help that community and those relationships get built, right? Like, I want to do that. So we say, hey, invite them. So as we get going through the summer, it's we're kind of bringing this out a little bit more, but I wanted you to know this, okay, to see it right out here and say, this is where kind of we're going. Because let me just share my heart. I would love for our church to just grow through the roof. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But I'm not interested in growing by shifting buckets or shifting boats from one church to another just for the sake of having a big crowd on a Sunday morning. I want to see New Hope continue to grow by people who are coming into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, are discovering the hope and the peace and the joy that comes from that, and are working alongside us to go out and to bless people in the world in the name of Jesus. I want to see lives transformed. People that are learning to trust and follow Jesus for maybe the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, right? Because they got sidetracked from that for whatever reason. I want to reach those folks, and we know those folks in our lives. We have networks of people where we know those. Now, I can't control what they do and whether they would participate or not, and that's okay. But discipleship starts with a saving relationship with Jesus. It's not after. It begins with coming to know Jesus. From being far from Jesus to being close to Jesus. That's the journey. That's the journey every person is taking. I want to see New Hope grow with that community. For me, I know what it's like to not be very close, and I know what it's like to be closer. And my life is a whole lot better being closer than farther away. I have more hope in my life now. I have more peace. I have more joy. Not because of me, but because of the Spirit of God in me is working within me. And I want to see other people experience that in their lives too. And we believe that Serve and Share is a great environment that will allow people in kind of more of a social space. I'm being honest with you. It's a social space. It's not a spiritually heavy. It's like social light. It's having fun. It's eating meal together. It's going out and doing work together, you know, for somebody to bless them. It's what it is. You can grow in that space. I know you can, because in the book of Acts chapter 2, people were going, being far from Jesus to being close to Jesus, to knowing him. It says they were getting together with glad and sincere hearts. Well, what else does that mean? That they were experiencing a growing joy of the Lord. They went from not knowing it to growing and experiencing more of it. Sincere hearts. They're growing in this commitment to Christ. With sincerity. You know what? How many of you ever taught somebody? And you know that moment, like with your kids, and they get it? You know, you see that moment, like the light bulb goes off in their head, or maybe you're waiting for that moment. or teachers, like you know, like you've seen it, and the light bulb goes off, and they get it. And you start to see their studying changes. You start to see their attitude starts to shift a little bit. You start to see they start to listen a little bit more. It's not just something they learned here. It's something that they're knowing how to put it into practice and apply it, right? Doesn't that feel good? It does to me. Like, when you see that happen, I love when I can teach and work with folks, and they get to that point and you go, wow, they get it. Yes! Woohoo! How fun is that? It's even better when your kids do that. You remember potty training the kids? And then they finally get it? Thank Jesus so much. Thank you. That was such a milestone. You can't come back from that example. Sorry. I don't think you can. I'm not sure it's possible. To my kids, I'm sorry. On that one. But we shall try. Who would have imagined that a social space could have such a great spiritual impact? It's amazing, really. A spiritual impact on people and the building, the growth of the kingdom of God. It really happened. more than once. And it's been happening in communities of people who are doing this seriously ever since then. People are coming closer to Jesus because they're experiencing these types of social space where they can just come in and sort of just gradually just get to this place of knowing Jesus more and more and responding to the Holy Spirit, inviting them to salvation. Thank the Lord for prevenient grace. Inviting you in, never stopping, doesn't quit. Says, I want you closer. I want you to know you. I want you to be in the kingdom. I want you to be saved from your sin. I don't want you to die. I want you to live forever with me. Come on, please, please, would you get it? You know, just always asking, asking, asking. And I think for a sense of us, when we have people that we do life with, when we just keep asking, you want to come? Come with me? Hey, I'm going to do this. You want to do this with me? Maybe it begins with just the idea of looking at your life saying, you know what, I could do life by myself, and I could serve the Lord by myself, but what if I could invite other people to come alongside me and I could do this journey with them? Like, it might be a little bit extra time and effort, but I wonder the impact that would have, that I could help disciple and develop somebody else, just inviting them to come along. And I know that they're going to sharpen me too, right, if I open myself to them. Just being a disciple that just does life in community. The big crowd on Sundays. Larger groups getting together to serve and share. And then we got the smaller ones that we're going to get to. But we don't do it all in one day. Do you think Jesus could grow somebody's faith and draw them closer to him over a meal? Over laughing together with somebody that believes and follows him, that takes his life seriously. By when they work together, they learn together. Just crack up, bust a gut, laughing together. Those are the best. But when they actually just, if they can tell they're hurting, take the moment and they just say, how are you? What's going on? I think Jesus is not done working in that kind of space. I think there's still a lot of work that can be done there. So our hope is that we're betting that that's the case. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we want to invest in growing disciples through that space. So that's part of our pathway. That's part of how we want to grow each as families that are here, families that we've yet to even know, because I promise you there are folks that we have yet to even meet. The Lord's going to bring across our paths that we're going to have the opportunity to lock arms with and together walk this pathway and share the good news of Jesus with the world. It's coming. It's coming. But in fact, we're already in it. So what do we do with it? I say we do it. I say we do it. What do you think? I say we do it. It's going to be good. If in, here, I would even, oh gosh, I hate making bets, but I believe in it so much, I will do this. If you would try this, to try it. I mean, like, seriously, try it, right? And you don't feel like over the next 6 months that God is enriching your faith and your relationship with him, then you can come to me and tell me, and I will buy you lunch. I'll buy you lunch. And I will apologize profusely for misleading you. But here's what I wager. That the God that I believe and worship is not done. And he's not done with you. And he's not done caring about the people that you know in your networks of people. And he wants to reach them. And he will bless and he will grow you if you will give your heart to go reach those people that he wants to reach. I wager I won't have to buy a single person lunch. I'm that confident that this works. Because Jesus already paved the way. We're just doing what Jesus did. You can't go wrong with that. Let's just be like Jesus. Make disciples by living like Jesus. And let's see what happens. Woo-wee. I kind of like having the mic up here. That's different. I forgot to put my mic on. I was like, whoops, I got to go. Here we go. What's the closest mic I can grab? Get it and go. And then just be in it to win it. All right. I am just loving where we are at. Go back to that discipleship pathway, would you? Please, screen, if you throw that back up there real quick. Over the next 2 weeks, for those of you that are with us today, of course, if you weren't, you wouldn't be hearing this. But you'll see, let me just hit this. You'll see the four of them here, right, that we have. So Sunday services, but part of that pathway is that when we gather, the Lord grows us together when we worship. Also, when we serve one another and we share life together, God grows us in that space as well. But we also understand that God grows us as we do small groups. Now, many of you do already meet small groups. And if I said, how many of you have grown through your small group? Like, zoom. You're like, yeah, absolutely, right? So you know what we're talking about. And then the last one is one that's called Stable Few. And that is one that gets into having, you thought I was going to tell you today that you're going to have to come back for part four. I'm not that gullible. We're going to talk about getting really deep into your faith with folks, okay? And I'll leave it at that. But again, with all of this, it's grounded in Scripture. It's grounded in the practices of Jesus. It's grounded in the early church. It's grounded in what we understand about God and what we know we've experienced already. It's like we know this stuff is legitimate. We're putting it together in a way that we can walk it and we can bring people into it and we can trust that God is going to grow people closer to the heart of Jesus through this pathway. That's the idea. Simple enough, right? We'll just keep it simple. That's the idea. Keep it simple. Cool. Very good. Well, would you do me a favor? Would you stand with me this morning? If you're at home, if you want to stand, that'd be cool. They're going to come and lead us in our closing song this morning. Father, we ask today that as we end this time of teaching from your word and this idea of serve and share as part of the pathway that we walk through which you grow us as followers of Jesus, you grow us closer to the heart of Jesus, I ask that you would take these words that have been said, this picture that I've talked about that's in our heads, and maybe any anxieties that go along with that or questions, Lord, that you would just continue to draw us into unity, unison as a church, that we walk over time. We're going to see the fruit of people growing closer to Jesus little by little. Help us to remember, Lord, that it's a marathon in one sense. We don't know when you're going to return, but we keep looking for the long haul and just working diligently day by day to help people come to know you better. I ask that you would bless the fruit of our labor as we take seriously this calling to go make disciples of Christ who love, grow, and serve. Amen.